Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 595, Toon Time, recorded live on September 14th, 2017. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
We're back on the live stream. It's been a few weeks, and it's been PAX. It's been medical issues for me, but we're finally back after, I guess it's been 3 weeks since we've done a live show. Our last one we actually did from PAX. We had a bunch of people on that show, which if you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend you do. But we're back in the hot seat. We're 595, five episodes away from 600, even though our 12-year anniversary was 2 months ago. We're a little behind there. But yeah, so I guess a little update on us. I was at PAX. We had our nice big PAX podcast with the Installation of the One folks, Sins of the Prophets, SPV3. We had Hidden Xperia. Got to meet him in person, which was awesome. Late Night Gaming. And Toa Freak, but we met him last year as well. But that was a lot of fun. It was a great weekend. Not too much Halo stuff at PAX, but we got to do some really cool Halo stuff during the 343 Community Day. Some of which we cannot discuss, but a lot of which will be coming out later this month. So that'll be nice to talk about when that comes out. How are things, GT? Let's give the audience an update on how we've been. I think some people have been reading the tweets, but for those that haven't, I think both of us have a little bit of life updates to give everybody.
Well, when it comes to the life part of the podcast, mine has been pretty sucky lately. Unfortunately, we lost our dog of 11 years, Smokey. If people have seen the tweets, I have been working 12-hour days for the last 4 weeks, and doing that 5 days a week and then working every Saturday. So, yay, not much free time. I spent my relaxing holiday weekend repairing my wife's Jeep. So, yeah, I'm kind of beat.
You need a vacation.
I plan on taking one as soon as I get somebody in there. Oh,
do you get
man.
Overtime or comp time for all that extra hours that you put in?
Yes, my boss is actually compensating me fairly well.
Okay, that's good.
And anything he doesn't compensate me for, I'll collect later.
At least he's been considerate to do that, so that's nice to know.
I might just take an extra week of vacation next year.
It is nice to have your boss back you up and acknowledge that, yeah, you're putting in the effort to make sure that we don't fall flat in our face, so thank you.
Well, you know, it's one of those things when you're working for a small business, you know, there really is only two people that work in my location. And right now, one of them's off on medical leave. I don't know if he's going to return or not. It's me, myself, and me until further notice. It's just, you know, it's one of those drawbacks to working for an independent or, you know, a small business, and I do mean small business. But I tell you what, over the crap that I put up with working at a corporate location, this is nothing. I mean, yeah, it's long hours, and it gets really boring being there for that many hours a day, but I still wouldn't go back to a corporate location where I, you know, I could work just my straight 8 hours and go home. It just, the stress level is so much less, and that's worth its weight in gold.
That's cool. Sorry to hear that the zombie nights are still happening, but hopefully you will find some relief from that soon.
So the zombie cast continues until further notice.
I did say I was going to play Zombie Nation on the show, didn't I? Maybe we'll just sprinkle it in here.
I remember something about that, but...
So for me, I decided to throw out my back last weekend by moving stacks of chairs at church without properly bending over and using the dolly. That kind of put me out of commission this week, which is why we're recording on a Thursday this week instead of a Tuesday, because my back has been just about killing me. Monday night was a pretty bad night from back spasms that would not stop for a good 20 minutes. So there's that, and then we had the week off, obviously, with PAX being a couple weekends ago, and that's where we did the PAX recording, and we have that episode out. Again, we had a lot of people on there. I think maybe we had 9 different people. I don't remember exactly how many, but definitely recommend you guys check it out. It was kind of a discussion into why everyone kind of comes to PAX, what PAX means to us, what we liked, what we didn't like about PAX this year, and we threw in a little bit of cornerstone discussions of the Halo community revolving around Claude Arrera and HBO. So it's definitely a good listen. And we managed to keep it about an hour, which kind of surprised me because we recorded on a Sunday night.
That's a lot of stuff to pack into an hour.
Yeah. But it was good. It was a nice, good discussion. And it was awesome to meet late night. It was awesome to meet Luke in person. And the Installation 01 folks, which we actually had a small part in helping get them to PAX. We kind of connected them up with people who had their additional passes. So it was cool to get to see them there. Maybe we'll see the Project Contingency guys there next year. I know, GT, you mentioned that you're trying to get there next year. So it'll be nice to have you there. And you'll probably get to see the studio too, which would be really awesome. And the museum.
Oh, definitely. That is one thing I would be looking forward to very, 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 very much. You know, I've watched, was it Halo Canon and Hidden Experience tour videos of the museum, but I would love to go there and see it in person. You know, be able to meet Grim and Bravo and the other people at 343. And, you know, have my profile pic standing next to Master Chief. Of course, I'd be just a mite shorter.
You wouldn't be too much shorter than me, so I make a good, I guess, comparison shot.
I might have stand on a box just so I look like I'm as tall as dust.
So, it'll be, next year will be a heavy year for Halo, I'm feeling, just with...
Well, I hope so. I hope they're continuing the same turnaround cycle. It's kind of got me concerned because they haven't said anything yet, which, you know, it could be they just want to get things nailed down with the debacle that was the Halo 5 campaign marketing campaign. So I can see them wanting to be a little bit more cautious about announcing things too soon. I do hope that here before too long, they do at least start hinting at it. You know, so that we know that we're going to get something next year.
I have a feeling we'll probably start getting hints maybe in the March, April time frame, and then maybe around E3 time, maybe a little before that, we might start seeing some teases, and then we'll probably have an announcement at E3, would be my guess. It's hard to say, because if they were to keep the 3-year cycle for Halo games, unless they're being really, really quiet about it for some reason and it'd be coming out next year, they usually announce the games at least a year in advance. So that would put E3 at least a year out. So it would put it into 2019 for Halo 6.
And, you know, that's kind of the whole reason I'm looking to go to PAX next year is because, you know, I want to be part of that, the Halo 6 hype. And, you know, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. You know, right now I'm not even sure if I'm going to be able to make it one way or another. I've got, you know, other things that have to get taken care of first, like actually being able to buy the tickets.
There's a network. We'll make sure you're covered.
There's a lot of things that have to fall into place for that to work for me next year. If the game needs another year's development time, I want them to take it. I don't want them to ship a game that's half-ass. You know, I want them to ship a complete game. You know, not this Forge comes in the next 6 months or, you know, another month later. it takes a year to get infection in the game. You know, I want them to ship a complete game. And if it takes an extra year for them to do it, I am more than glad to give it to them.
I would agree. I think it needs the time to work it out. We don't need people clamoring for stuff after a game's launch. It needs to be all-inclusive of every feature that's currently in Halo 5 and whatever they decide to add with Halo 6. No MCC crap either would be nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they should just take their time. Not too much time, obviously, but make sure that they are able to deliver on a package that they can promise and not, I don't want to say mistreat the community, but...
Well, mistreat the game.
Expectations.
Because the way they've treated, just the way things have happened with the Master Chief Collection and Halo 5, it's really hurt the community and it's hurt the game. They really need to concentrate on nailing this game. They did a really good job with multiplayer on Halo 5. Other than it was incomplete.
Yeah, no Forge and Theater is kind of a crappy substitute from what we've had from Reach and Halo 3. And
yeah, that's the other thing. That's one other thing they need to do. They need to get a good theater in it again. You know, one that's actually usable. It doesn't have to be anything real fancy. I mean, Halo 3, Halo 4, Halo Reach, the theater worked and it was easy to use. That we don't need the Halo 5 Forge version of theater. All we need to be able to do is record our clips and save them. The one thing I would like to see happen is that clips become saved locally, not on the servers. I want that information on my box for as long as I want to keep it, not until they decide they want to flush the servers.
Well, and with Halo 6, since they're going to be supporting LAN play anyways, I'm hoping that some of those features will be LAN accessible or offline accessible. And another thing, too, I'd like to see is the original Halo 3 theater, where you could actually set up a clip and set the camera motion and then go in and just record it. I kind of would like them to take it a step further and be able to program in camera movement and angles instead of having to manually do it with a controller or having a kind of a combination of both. So you could have like a spinning camera around a certain thing, and this would be like perfect for machinimas or montages or replay clips or whatever, but be able to like programmatically go between players, views, fly cam, free fly, all that stuff, and then preset that path. Kind of like you can do with the opening scene of a multiplayer or a multiplayer match, except do that with theater. The text there, just implement it in theater, and then once you have all those camera angles, you can kind of tweak every camera angle, and then you can just run it as a full scene and then record it and be done with it.
I just, the theater mode that they have now is atrocious. In order to control the video, you have to have the controls on the screen, which makes it inherently hard to record a clean clip. I don't hit the Xbox record that button every time I want to record something, because there's stuff that that happens that I miss because I'm intently playing the game and I'm not looking for clips. I don't want to play the game and look for clips while I'm playing it. I want to watch a replay of it and find the clips that way.
Confound brings up an interesting point. Having a basic record for the Xbox and the ability to transfer it to a computer to do more editing. And that'd be nice just to have like theater for clips in Halo 5 Forge or some kind of equivalent to that, where you can just bring in your clip and just edit it there. Granted, you wouldn't have that for campaign or Warzone just because of how Halo 5 Forge currently works.
Yeah. Well, start with a theater mode. You're not dealing with all that stuff. You're not dealing with, in the theater mode, it's just replaying events and changing the camera angle. So it's not impossible for them to have some type of export system in the game.
I mean, Halo 3 and Halo Reach and Halo 4 had great theater systems.
And with Bungie Pro, you could actually, they actually had servers where you could export those clips into an editable video or editable file.
Edible. You can eat edible. Them.
Edible. Nom nom.
That's actually how I Am Suck did the HMV Hell 4 or 3.
Yeah.
3 or 4. I think it was 4. Just all Bungie Pro video.
And with the latest update, well, the update that will be coming, dashboard update that will be coming here soon.
Ah, yes.
They are, in that update, they are giving you the ability to have one Xbox connect to another Xbox to transfer data over your network. So, in some ways, you know, the foundation's kind of laid for that kind of connectivity.
Well, and OneDrive's kind of been there too, but I guess that connectivity introduces just the LAN capability of being able to transfer stuff.
On a Windows network, your Xbox is already visible in your network properties. You can't access anything on it, but you can stream video to it directly off your PC. You know, just play to Xbox One. You don't have to open the file on the Xbox. It just starts playing. So there's already some connectivity between the PC and the Xbox there. They just need to make it to where that traffic can go the other way. Go from the Xbox to your PC.
Did you know with the VLC app, you could actually put music and videos from your computer onto your Xbox and play it through the VLC app? That was one of the cool things I found whenever I was messing around with that app. It's like, I can transfer any of my, like, and they'll actually be stored on the Xbox, not.
Well, my Xbox is never go anywhere, so I just stream it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I have a media server, is so I can keep all my media in one place.
I really need to get one. So the feature I thought you were going to mention was the thing that Major Nelson tweeted out, I think yesterday or the day before, how in one of the updates, you're going to be able to actually record straight to a hard drive.
No, I missed that one.
Yeah, so you'll be able to
12-hour days, stream no time 1080p for Twitter
video from your Xbox to a hard drive.
That'd be cool. Now, if they could just make that network accessible.
The hard drive or something else?
The video. You record it to your external hard drive, and then you're able to access that via your network.
Oh, it'd probably be something like a go-through studio, or just you'd probably have to pull the hard drive and plug it into a computer or something.
But, I mean, going back to your point of, you know, being able to pull a save film out of Halo and edit it on a PC. I mean, there's ways around it. You know, if they, all they need to do is give us a good theater mode to where we can pick a character, stay with them, control the video without having the controls displayed on the screen. And you need to be able to go forward and backwards, change camera, all that from the controller. There's enough buttons you can do that. There's enough buttons on the controller you can control the camera and be able to record that. You, even with the Xbox record that, you can do that. Do an Xbox record that, and then you can download that video from the Xbox DVR after it uploads. And then you can edit it on your PC. It's a lot of internet traffic, but it's doable if you have a good theater program.
But the game DVR right now only does 720, right?
No, it does 1080. And with the November update, it'll do 4K.
Okay. I guess it's been a while since they've used game DVR for that kind of stuff.
On,
I thought it was just 720.
It might be. But I know the November update, the Xbox S and the Xbox X will both be able to do 4K screenshots. And I believe the original Xbox will be able to do 4K screenshots, but I'm not sure. That's screenshots. I'm not sure about video yet.
Yeah, I think the X will probably be the only one that can do 4K video. Still, lots of cool stuff. I'm just assuming that the capture at 1080, since this is the first time I've seen it, this is the only time it's actually been available to capture video at 1080. Because you could do screenshots, just not video, I think. Yeah, Pins, I think that's what GT was kind of heading towards, was once you actually get a video file created, can you use the Xbox menus to just upload that file straight to a network's resource instead of having to go through OneDrive?
Now, if you pull a video off upload, you download it at 720, 30 frames per second.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. So it'd be nice if that was at 60 frames for 720.
I think the Xbox actually records it in a higher quality than that. I think that's a limitation that Xbox DVR puts on it.
Okay. Be interesting to know. I don't know if there's a way to kind of dig into the file system to see what the native resolution is, but I don't know. I saw that tweet and that kind of piqued my interest. It's like, oh, that'll be nice to actually be able to capture directly to an external hard drive. And I mean, it doesn't exactly solve the issue of just streaming over a network, but at least I can just pop the hard drive out and it's probably an MP4 file where I can just pull it straight into whatever video program I want to use. All right, should we get to some Halo news? I don't think we've talked Halo yet.
Nope. Well, we have and haven't.
Well, let's get into some of the latest updates from the Haloverse. First off with the weapon tuning. We are actually in Phase 2. Phase 1 took place starting on the 5th of September, and it is come and gone. Now we're actually in Phase 2. They put some updates into the Team Arena playlist, and now we are actually into a separate playlist that is the weapon tuning test playlist and has all of these weapon tuning changes that we're about to kind of go through. And that's temporarily replaced Team Arena, and that's going on for another couple of weeks until October 2nd, I believe it was, sometime beginning of October. And then Team Arena will be coming back with its restored settings. And then finally, in November, whenever the 4K update gets released for Xbox One X for Halo 5 Guardians, then they'll release the weapon tuning update alongside that. Another thing to note is the weapon tuning is only available in the playlists that they'll be corresponding with. So right now, it's just the weapon tuning playlist. And that'll be the only playlist that you can actually use these tuned weapons. You can't have them in custom games, can't have them in Forge, and they will be incorporated into Campaign and Warzone after they drop with the content update coming in November. So a couple key points there. So why don't we dive into some of the stuff. They haven't put in detail what they've changed. They've kind of hinted at some of it, and some of it we've covered already. A few other ones I don't think we've covered yet on the show, but let's just kind of go through them at a high level real quick. So the AR, it's a little too effective. There's not really a good gap in the skill range for the AR. Something that they noted is when it comes to skill with AR, there's not really a difference between a diamond player and a champion. So they're going to, sounds like, nerf it a little bit to where you have to be a little more skillful with using the AR. The only thing I'm a little worried about here is if they go too far and make the AR kind of useless. Because the AR is actually kind of a useful weapon right now in Halo. And it's always been kind of one of those weapons of you kind of toss it as quickly as you can, especially in Halo 3. And now it's actually a pretty level set weapon with a BR at a little bit closer range.
You know, if they bring the range in a little bit and make it where having a battle rifle or a DMR or a carbine is an advantage at the longer ranges, I think that would work okay with it. You know, something outside a shotgun range, but inside the range of a battle rifle. You know, something to where you have to find that sweet spot where the battle rifle, you know, when we're talking about range, that sweet spot where the battle rifle is better and the AR falls off, but you get a little closer, the AR gets better, and the BR is not as much of an advantage. It's going to be a tough balance.
I think the main thing with the AR is going to be really focusing on the effectiveness at the mid to close range. And there's a couple ways I see them possibly doing this. One of them being the rate at which the bloom takes effect and retreats may be greater. So it'll bloom out maybe quicker, but it'll bloom in just as quickly. I think that might kind of help for the longer range game, kind of the mid-range game. And then maybe put a little more damage into the projectiles themselves to make it a little more effective at closer range. I don't know. I feel like reticle bloom or the reticle bloom, the spray, and the damage will probably take a part in having that AR balance take place.
Yeah, that sounds, that's kind of what I was saying. You know, just bring its effective range in a little bit when you just hammer the trigger. You know, still don't hurt the burst fire as much, you know, which you can do with, you know, controlling how fast the bloom takes effect. You know, so where the people that have learned how to burst fire the weapon can be more accurate at range. So, I mean, technically, the AR and the BR, as far as cannon, are relatively close to the same weapon. The main difference is that the AR is fully automatic and the BR is a 3-shot burst and it has a scope, an actual scope, not just a zoom in or a look down sight, whatever. But
ADS. You know,
as far as real world, the AR with someone practice should be just about as accurate as the BR. Cause I mean, you know, there's not that much difference in barrel length between the two weapons. I mean, they're physically about the same size. So, you know, the only downside the AR has is it doesn't have as advanced targeting package as the BR does.
Well, and that could be just in the nature of that the BR is a burst where the AR is kind of fully automatic. But yeah, you're right. You read the books on how effective John is with the AR and that it's his favorite weapon. Canonically, yeah, the differences aren't too dissimilar, but from a gameplay perspective, it does make a difference.
I mean, you know, technically there is a caliber difference between the BR and the AR, but it's not like going from an .06 to a .22. You know, you're more like going from, you know, like an AR-15 or not an AR, like an AK-47 to a NATO round. Yes, there is some difference in them, okay, but it's not a huge difference.
Gotcha. I'm not a huge gun nut, so.
Well, neither am I. I know some. I know enough to make me dangerous. And I'm sure somebody will correct me somewhere, but you're talking about a 9mm round versus a 7mm round. There's not that much more mass between the two. It's just somebody that's a good shot could make the same shot with both weapons.
Gotcha. I can see that.
Could I make that shot? No. But anyway.
Just got to get enrolled in the Spartan program. Moving on to the BR. Right now, it's too effective at all ranges of battle, so they're going to focus on making it a mid-range weapon, trying to bring it back, tighten it into a role-specific weapon. Doesn't mean that you won't be able to use it at longer range or shorter range, but I think that kind of translates to bullet spread a little bit, and maybe reticle magnetism on targets.
Yeah, the way it sounds to me, it sounds like they're wanting to make the BR a more mid to long range weapon, to be the weapon that you pull out to shoot across, not necessarily across the entire map, but maybe across half the map.
I wonder if that is a change in scope thing as well.
I don't know. The scopes on the BRs are pretty effective.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like maybe reduce the scope on it might help kind of bring it in a little bit more mid-range. Maybe. That would be just a couple of things that I could think of how they're going to change that one.
But yeah, just the way it sounds like it sounds like they wanted to focus more on, you know, kind of that mid-range combat, not really long range, not like DMR long, but, you know, just a mid to longer range than the AR.
Yeah, a little bit longer. That's, a little bit further out there.
Yeah, that's kind of the theme through all these weapon tunings. They want to try to find a niche spot for all the weapons.
Which, you know, with how many weapons are in the sandbox, that's kind of difficult.
Well, there's going to be some duplication.
And just preference in weapons, too.
Or weapons that are available on the map.
Right. Next one is the carbine. Right now, it's way too effective at long range. So they're going to nerf it down to be a little bit more of a suppression role instead of being super effective at long distances. I'm not exactly sure what that entails. I guess that probably is another bullet spread issue as far as long range and maybe a scoping issue.
I have to admit, the carbine is really accurate at range.
Yeah, I mean, I'll pick it up if I don't have the BR right there for in Warzone, because it works pretty well. And if you think about it, too, it's kind of, back in Halo 2, it was kind of the Covenant equivalent of the BR. So with how effective the BR is at kind of that mid to long range, you'd expect the carbine to kind of play a similar role.
Yeah, they don't want to make it too much like the BR, because then...
Then why have it, basically?
Yeah, exactly. Now, granted, it also depends on what they're doing with your startup weapons, what they're giving you. So, you know, if they're just giving you a pistol, then you're probably going to be looking around to pick it up.
And the different arena maps will kind of play into, I think, a majority of why these weapons are being changed the way they are. Next one, the DMR. They're looking at making the long range effectiveness a little bit more of a standout feature for this weapon. It hasn't been quite the long range effectiveness that they've wanted it to be, and based off of feedback. So they're going to work at kind of drawing out that effectiveness at mid range and close range and try to push it into the long range part as much as possible.
Yeah, the one thing I would hope they do on that is put a different scope on it, because I find that scope just annoying.
I do not like the DMR because of the scopes. Those scopes are so annoying. It's one of the reasons I don't really use DMRs, is that scope is obnoxious.
Yeah, the only time I'll use a DMR is in Warzone when I'm looking to shoot at range. And even then, I'll pick one with a different scope on it.
Yeah.
Just that standard scope, it's annoying. I know why they do it, is to make it harder to use, but that just the glare off the sun when you're not even looking at the sun is annoying.
And the green haze.
I don't mind the green haze as much, but the glare effect, you know, even when you've got the sun at your back, you still have that glare effect on it, and it doesn't make sense, and it screws with my brain.
I wonder if that's intentional or if that's kind of actually a bug.
No, I'm sure it's intentional.
Because you really shouldn't. Because from a lore perspective, those guns are smart linked to your helmet, right? So you shouldn't have a sun glare unless the sun is coming from the other side of the scope.
If I'm facing the sun, okay, yeah, that's fine. That makes sense.
Right.
But when the sun's at my back and I got a solar flare in the lens,
That sounds like a bug.
Well, if it's a bug, it's been there since day one. No, I'm pretty sure it's a design. I'm pretty sure it's designed to be that way.
Well, Not very smart then, if it's supposed to be a smart link weapon type of thing. Maybe it's not supposed to be. I don't know. I thought it was the whole sandbox idea was your smart link to your scope if you actually have a scope.
Mm-hmm. Well, with Halo 5, your smart link works on all weapons, even when they don't have a scope. Well, with the exception of what the gunfighter magnum.
Speaking of which, that's the next one on the list. They're looking to decrease the long-range effectiveness of the Magnum and make it a little bit more powerful at close range, so it can actually fight on the same level as other close-range weapons, as long as you have your accurate shots being put on your target. I wonder how that compares to the normal Magnum.
Well, the gunfighter, its biggest advantage is rate of fire.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. I wonder if that is why it is a little more effective at longer ranges, because you can pull it quickly, so you're getting more shots on somebody. But I wouldn't necessarily say you would have to change the effectiveness at long range if it's just someone's rapidly pulling the trigger. I don't know, I wonder if that's going to be a bloom effect for that weapon as well. Sounds like it could be.
Yeah, either that or they'll change the damage fall off.
They could. The next one, this is the first one I highly agree with. But the SMG being super effective at long range, or I guess medium range, that SMG has been a beast of a weapon for way too long.
Oh, yeah. It is way too effective. Even against the assault rifle at range, it can, of course, with its higher rate of fire, it can outpace a AR, and the AR should be able to reach out and touch someone a lot further away than the SMG does.
Yeah. That's why you see a lot of people try to go for that SMG whenever there is one available, because it dominates compared to the AR.
Oh, I pick it up every time I run across it.
It'll be nice to see that kind of nerf back, but I have a feeling this will be one of the weapons that will be heavily nerfed. And one of the big things about it too is whenever you smart link, just that bubble kind of comes in, and that becomes really effective at medium range. So I wonder if the scoping in mechanism is going to change a little bit with the SMG.
Probably just bullet spread, as far as on, you know, when you're scoped in. I think it just won't bring it won't tighten up the bullet spread as much as it does now.
Could. And just make it a little bit more of a spray. Yeah. I could see that being a change to it as well. Next one, active camo. Basically not effective. I know in Warzone I've actually gotten by with quite a few active camos, but if someone knows to look out for it, then they'll spot you pretty easily.
Yeah.
And I think it's been something where they've noticed people not using it as much in Warzone.
Well, the only time I use it is in Warzone Turbo, when I want to sit on top of a base and snipe. If it involves moving, I don't use the active camo, because the motion gives you away. Even when you're crawling or crouch walking, you're just too visible. When you're sitting still against something, you're a lot harder to spot.
Yeah, but the movement is definitely noticeable. So hopefully that's something that they'll buff quite a bit. And another thing I think too is just in competitive play, the pros know what to look for. I mean, camo makes it a little bit more of an inconvenience, but the pros will be able to pick you out easily.
With the camo, if you are crouch walking, you should be invisible. If you are walking, you should be somewhat visible. Kind of like where it stands now. And of course, the faster you move, the more visible you become.
But it should not be where it's like, oh, I can see this shimmer from a mile away. I know that's an active camouflage person. Because that's what it feels like right now.
I've hit people across map on Warzone, playing Warzone Turbo. People come out of the base with an active camo on, and I'll pick them off with a sniper. Because they're that visible.
Yeah. So they're going to be buffing that, which is nice. Next one is the energy sword, where they've determined that whenever you're running with it or have it equipped, It is way too easy to close gaps in battles. It's way too easy for people to just whip out a sword, run to catch up to somebody, and slash and dash them. So they're going to nerf that and maybe make it to where the extra speed boost that you give the sword is not as much.
You know, I do agree with that. It shouldn't be a consistent speed boost. Like, so long as you have it out, you can run at that extra speed. I think it needs to be changed to a short burst.
I could see that.
You whip it out, you get 4 or 5 steps with it, and then your speed boost is gone.
So I can kind of see the mentality of if you have a sword, you would move a little bit faster, but at that same point, anything that's a one-handed weapon, you should be moving just as fast.
You know, the only reason I say that is because the sword, in previous Halos, it's been an ambush weapon.
Yep, lie in wait.
And I never really liked that, because that gives the receiving player very little chance of actually winning that fight.
From a tactics perspective, I don't see it necessarily being bad.
I'm not saying it's bad. It's just a little one-sided. But if you have somebody coming at you with it, you know, like a lot of people use it now, I mean, people whip it out, run around the map, and just kill people. At least you have the opportunity to attempt to defend yourself.
To react and run away.
And that's where I think a short speed boost would be a good balance between what they have now and having nothing.
Yeah, I could see that.
You see somebody, you come across somebody that has an SMG. You whip the sword out, you can take those 4 or 5 steps to close the gap, and they still have an opportunity to stop you, but you're not at a huge disadvantage. With that said, I also would say reduce the lunge range.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Especially on the smart link, which I don't know how you can have smart link on a sword, but anyway.
That one's always kind of puzzled me too, is how can you have a longer lunge range when the lunge is kind of already a little ridiculous to begin with?
Yeah, I would say reduce the lunge range, a limited speed boost. You know, like I said, only 4 or 5 steps. Not something they can run around the map with.
Lunge has to be one of the most unrealistic characteristics of Halo.
Oh, the power suits aren't unrealistic?
I mean, they're somewhat believable.
The fuel rod cannon is realistic. The kneeler is realistic. And you're complaining about the lunge? No, I get what you're saying.
Bear with me here. More from a physics perspective instead of like, I mean, the plasma stuff, yeah. And the needler, that's another thing too. But they at least tried to explain that within the lore of Halo. The one thing that they will explain is just it defies physics completely. And this is one of the very first clips I have in Halo 3 is I basically, I think I shot someone with rockets and I was jumping in and I turned around and there's another guy in front of me. So I completely changed momentum and direction to lunge into somebody. So I'm basically I jump backwards and then I whip out a sword and I lunge in the total opposite direction of the way I was going. So from a physics perspective, it's just like, yeah, that doesn't
make sense. Well, at least we don't have the Halo 2 lunge glitch.
The rocket sword glitch. I never tried actually to get that done. And supposedly you still can do it in like Halo 2 Vista or something like that.
I've done it a couple of times. It's a trip to go cross map with a sword. There was a group of guys I used to play with, and one of the fun things we'd do is we'd sword lunge to get out of maps. Or, well, sword
cancel. The stairway on barrel grounds?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's one of them. I should say sword cancel, but it's still a sword lunge. But yeah, the sword lunge in Halo 2 was ultimately utterly ridiculous. It was better than Halo 5, it was still a little overpowered in Halo 4, but it was a just about right without having the speed boost. So I think in Halo 5, if, you know, just so they can keep the speed boost in there, because that is a nice thing to have with the sword, is to have that additional closing speed. But I don't think it should be there all the time.
No.
You know, unless it's like Prophet's Bane or something like that.
Well, and the other thing too is, I think one of the reasons why they put the boost on the sword is because it's, you're not holding a weapon in the fact, well, you're not holding a gun, let me rephrase that, and you're able to kind of run with both arms, so you would technically have that higher momentum. But if that's the case, then you should be running that speed with your magnums, your SMG, your plasma pistol, and any other one-handed weapon that you use should have that same speed boost. So I kind of like I hadn't thought of the idea of just having the first few steps be boosted, but that's an interesting experiment. Be interesting to see how that would play out.
I'm not even sure if it's something they're capable of doing.
It might be. I mean, we don't know, but it could be. Hard to say. Should we move on to the next weapon?
Sure.
Beam rifle. So they had a similar issue like they had with the UNSC sniper rifle, where hip firing is just way too effective. So they're going to be nerfing that down a little bit and try to make it to where you have to be a little more planned out with your shots and be a little more effective at long range instead of just the hip firing. I'm kind of miss that with the beam rifle, because that's one of the reasons why I like the beam rifle so much, is because I can. That's probably one of the better sniping weapons I can actually shoot from the hip with.
Well, the beam rifles have always been easier to hip fire and, you know, get snap shots or whatever you want to call it. So, you know, it'd be a pretty simple, I think it's just be a pretty simple thing, is the stickiness of the reticle.
I would agree.
So, you know, they're not really going to nerf it in power or anything. They're just going to make it a little less sticky. You just have to be a little bit more accurate with your hip fires.
Sticky, sticky.
But yeah, I'm the same way. If there's a beam rifle and a sniper rifle sitting side by side, I'll grab the beam rifle. Because for some reason, and it's probably the stickiness of the reticle, I just do better with the beam rifle.
Yep, so do I. So I'm going to miss that beam rifle. But it's good to be balanced out. Next one, the fuel rod cannon. So we discussed this one a little bit before, and we think we know what exactly they're saying with the description, but because it's an explosive projectile with a high rate of fire, there have been some problematic results in the heat of battle, which I think both of us agree that means that translates to people committing suicide.
I did do some testing since our last one. I did play around in Super Fiesta a little bit, and the fuel rod is a one-hit kill.
Okay.
Splash damage is two hits, and if you're in the splash damage, it's a one-hit kill for you. or one-hit suicide. So, yeah, I think what they're probably going to do is decrease the blast radius and maybe even slow down the rate of fire.
Or maybe change that blast radius to more of a pushback effect.
Could
maybe increase that and then decrease the damage effect of the radius. I could see them doing that. So you still have an effect of the weapon being exhibited on your target, but you run a little less risk of committing suicide.
Because I know there's been a few times, you know, I've shot somebody a little too close. I killed them, but I killed me too.
Well, at some points it's like, well, I got myself into the situation. The only good way out of it I see is to just fire at point blank so both of us don't get it. So, yeah, suicide.
I mean, with the higher end fuel rod cannons like the Pula Radiance, yeah, you should, with the way it's designed, you should expect to not be close to the explosive projectile.
That's the one that has the multiple explosions, right?
Right.
What's the one that that fires super, super fast? Is that the Urz one? Yeah, that one gets a little crazy, too.
It's a good way to expend ammo, that's for sure.
Yeah, if you want to spray and pray a little bit, that's a good, nice explosive weapon to do it with.
Mm-hmm.
Fuel rot, or we just did that one. Grenade launcher is up next. And I'm not sure how I feel about them changing this one. They're trying to make it to where it's a little more effective at indirect damage at medium range. But I feel that its effectiveness right now is good where it's at. And they do mention about how they're going to be tuning how fast the grenade travels and how it bounces and whatnot. So I could see maybe the travel time of the projectile maybe makes it a little too easy to pick off ground targets, but it doesn't seem right now to be very effective against vehicles outside the EMP effect.
You know, I would like to see... I honestly don't have a lot of opinion on the grenade launcher because I'm not very good with it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I can get kills with it. And the problem with the grenade launcher and evaluating it is a lot of times you don't see where the grenade is when you kill somebody. So you don't know if they're standing on top of it or if they're 5 feet away from it. Because generally you're firing it from behind cover and you're trying to lob it into the walkway where somebody's going. Unless you're dealing with a pro pipe, where then you're actually trying to hit them. So, you know, for me, it's really hard to come up with a good bad scenario with the grenade launcher.
Yeah, which is kind of why it's interesting that they're tweaking it, because I feel like it fits pretty well right now. If I had to pick something that should not be in this list, it'd be the grenade launcher. Out of all the other things that are listed in here, I would say the grenade launcher would be at the bottom of the list.
I would have to agree with you.
The last weapon is the rail gun. Right now it's too effective at close range and they want it to be more sniper-like where you have to deliberately plan out your shots. So this probably translates into a more buildup of charge time, I would guess, and maybe a little less reticle magnetism at close range.
That sounds about right. I still haven't got the charge time down with that rail gun yet.
I've gotten it pretty close. There are a few times where it's like, okay, I think I've charged it up just enough and I let go of the trigger and nothing happens. It's like, dang it, I was probably a tenth of a second off from it being fully charged and letting go.
Yeah.
But I love the rail gun. Rail gun's so much fun.
Yeah, one thing
one of my favorites.
One problem that I have with the rail gun is the reticle. The problem is I can't see the damn thing to tell when it's charged. I would like to see, you know, this applies to all weapons. I would like to see an option to change the color of the reticle.
Or just your HUD overall.
Well, no, I don't care about the HUD. Just the reticle. You know, to be able to make it a bright yellow or a bright green or red, you know, well, not red because they use that for identification. But the ability to change the color of the reticle. And I've noticed that it, for some reason, Halo 5 is the worst about it. I mean, I literally play with a dot on my monitor because I have trouble seeing the reticle. It just blends into the background too well. You know, when I'm playing on a dark map, it's fine because it really stands out. But most of the maps that you play on are very bright maps. They're outdoors.
Yeah, and you have lots of grays and quite a few blues depending on the map.
It just kind of gets in my, it just gets washed out.
I never really thought about that, but you make a really good point.
Yeah, you know, I literally have a Sharpie mark on my monitor so I can tell where the reticle is.
Oh gosh.
I mean, you know, it's a trick I used when I play Halo Reach Lasso, you know, so I could still have some indication of where I was shooting.
Oh, Lasso.
Yeah. And after doing that, I realized that even in normal play, it gave me much better accuracy because I could see that black dot better.
Interesting. I never really thought about... Well, I guess I've never had a problem with it for me personally, but...
But, you know, that's just kind of a personal beef with me.
Yeah, but I wonder how many other people have that same issue, though.
You know, I haven't really played with the colorblind settings. You know, that might change things, but then I don't want the picture to look weird.
Because you want, like, certain things changed, but not everything changed. So that's all the weapons that are being tuned right now in the weapon tuning test playlist that's in ranked matchmaking. And these will be pulled out October 2nd, and then there will be some internal analysis of feedback and gameplay and stats. And then come November, they'll push out the weapon tuning with the 4K update that will be used for the Xbox One X installation of the game. So if you want to test out the new weapons, head on over to that playlist. It's up until October 2nd. So you've got about 2.5 weeks to test it out. They do have a forum thread where you can post feedback regarding the updates and the tuning. So if you want to be proactive and helpful, then play a lot and go post in the discussion thread. There's a couple of things from the latest community update that I want to touch on real quick. First one is that Retribution is now out. It released on August 29th, and we actually have a copy to give away. And I think there's really only 3 people in here that are eligible for a copy. I think it's Pins, Confal, well, maybe 4. Pins, Confal, Heaven Smile, and Futched. So if you guys are interested in the book, actually, I mean, Futched might actually already have it. I don't know, Pins, Confal, and Heaven Smile, I don't know if they have it either, but we do have a copy to give away if you guys want to. Yeah, Pins already has it. So it might just be down to the person that doesn't have it, or we might give it away on Twitter. Is that a yes, Confal, that you have it, or that you want it?
The latest book, Retribution.
Retribution. That's out. I haven't started reading it yet, but that's because I'm backlogged on a whole bunch of other things. But with that said, I'm actually reading another book. I am reading Shadow of Intent right now, which I'm hoping to have done by the time the next week's podcast comes around, so we can actually have a book discussion. Yay!
Nice thing about moving stock is I was able to listen to it 3 times today.
3 times? Jeez.
Well, when you're moving back and forth, you don't pay attention as good as you should.
And that's just at regular play speed? Dang.
It's only, I think the audiobook's only 2 hours.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe 2.5, something like that. Yeah. It's not that long.
Ah, dang it, Fust. He brought it up. When we're doing the Halsey Journal podcast, I don't know yet. Let's just try to get through some of the other books.
We'll yeah, I figure let's get through all the regular media and then maybe we'll do that.
That okay, could be really long.
Evasionally.
I didn't even conceptually grasp probably 75% of that book the first time I went through it.
Yeah, that one's going to take a few read-throughs.
I probably have to reread some other books and replay some games in order to understand all the stuff that's in that journal. That one's probably going to be at least 6 months out. Just saying. Just putting that out there.
I'd say a year.
That works too.
It might take me that long to get through it.
But it looks like Confal is the only one really in here that doesn't have the book. So there you go, Confal, you get a book. I don't have to do random notes anyway. At all. Also, if you need Fractures, let me know, because I have 2 extra copies of that as well. We will be giving away a couple issues of Rise of Atriox, which actually just came out this past week as well. They are, I believe, was it 6 issues, 8 issues for Rise of Atriox? I forget how many issues are coming. But the first issue is out, so we'll be giving one of those away on Twitter. Well, it'll be tomorrow as of this recording, but it'll be Friday, the 15th of September. So if you're listening to this, this is probably coming on by now, but we'll have another one to give away probably next week during the podcast or something. Not sure what exactly we're doing. But the first issue is out. It'll be at your local comic shop. Also, Halo Warfleet has been released as well. That came out on September 5th. It'll come out in the UK on October 5th. So check your local bookshelves for that. The next Halo crate, which is the Quarantine Zone crate, is up for order up until August 15th. So you have about a month to get that crate. You can head on over to podtackler.com/lootcrate and then use the code podtackler at checkout to get $3 off of your crate. They are still working on back compat releases of all the games for the 360 titles. And then there are some community highlights that they have in here, one of which is a brute that some of the 405th persons, Alexis Smith and Gabe Schultz, actually put together, and then Jeremy Sloan was the one that wore it. But it is a legit sized brute. I mean, it towered basically 2.5 to 3 feet over the rest of us that were standing there.
Nice.
Yeah. And then whoever saw the picture of everyone from the community day with us in the 343 lobby, that was him standing in that suit too. He is literally on 2-foot stilts of wood in the boots. And then he wears a helmet, and then the head is actually I forget what the technical term for it is, but basically a stick that's attached to the helmet for the head to go above the little neck piece.
So he actually looks through the chest.
He looks through the neck piece. Yeah.
Neck piece.
Yeah. There's a little mesh thing on the armor there that he can look through.
Yeah. I came across a video the other day that shows you how to make yourself a set of stilts that would give you legs like an elite with that real as high
like
ankle.
Okay. Like the bendy backwards.
Nice.
And
when you walk, you walk like, you know, like that is your ankle, because it really is your ankle.
Oh, and then you have another kind of foot part that is a fixed ankle.
Yeah, you have a foot that sticks down. You basically, you're walking around on your toes all day. But it's a kind of, I was looking at that and I'm like, that would be good for an elite costume. Because with that, you could do it and look proportional.
Yeah, you could. Because elites are, 7 foot something?
Yeah, they're between 7 and 8.
Oh, Heaven Smile's in here, so we actually do need to do a drawing. So, Confal and Heaven Smile, you guys are... I should actually probably legitimately flip a coin for this.
No, just to find one.
I got one right here, actually. There you go.
I can flip a grunt.
All right. Who wants to be heads? Who should we make heads?
Let them call it. Who wants heads?
Who wants heads? Rochambeau. who wants heads for this book?
First one to call it gets heads.
Confile calls tails. So
okay.
We'll do first of two results. How about that? Of course, I dropped the quarter. The good thing I have a second quarter. All right, heads is first.
It's rigged.
Heads twice. So, Heaven Smile. Congratulations, you get the book. Sorry, Confound got ripped right out from your feet. But if you want Fractures, I'll give you a copy of Fractures. So, let me know if you want Fractures. But Heaven Smile, you got the book. Stay tuned. I'll let you know how to redeem it so I can ship it off to you tomorrow. A couple other things in the update we have is someone made a life-size replica of a sword. The Instagram account is Arborum, which that's the first time I think I've heard of them before. They also posted it over on Reddit, but this thing is pretty huge, or at least the girl that's holding it may just be small. This thing is, I would say, at least 3 feet, 3.5 feet in length.
Wow.
Judging by the look of it. So you can check that out over on the Halo subreddit or at Arborum's Instagram page. And then this was the other impressive thing. I think this actually got posted a couple of weeks ago, and they just included in the update now. But have you seen this, GT? The massive, huge base build of Mega Bloks?
No, I have not.
Yeah. This thing is insane. I don't know how long it took for him to put this together, but it's a custom build with a lot of different Mega Block sets. So there are several Falcons in there on the top. There are Vultures, there's Warthogs, there's Mongeese, there's Hornets, there's Turrets. It's a legitimate base build. I think wow. It might actually be from somewhere in the Halo universe. Someone in the chat knows. I think it's supposed to be from something. The description is, this is the base I built for my units. Unit Forces represents the home of the 47th Regiment of the 124th Mechanized Infantry Brigade of the UNSC Army on Reach. So this is just a custom build based off of kind of a little story on backstory on his build.
Well, that is
5 years. Cool.
Yeah. And probably a couple hundred thousand dollars. Jeez, that's a lot of Mega Bloks.
Yeah, he said the build is approximately 25,000 Mega Bloks and it covers approximately 50 square feet. Oh no, it seems like there's a lot more Mega Bloks in there than 25,000. If you all have not had a chance to check this out, you must. This is almost like a dream come true as far as a Mega Bloks build could go. I'm wondering how much he spent on this thing, too.
I like the armory. I mean, he's even got a little Spartan cage to armor the Spartans.
Oh, I hadn't gotten down that far yet. I was still looking at, like, the top deck one. And there's some looks old like he's sets got in here.
Spartans in drop pods? Or cryopods, maybe?
Oh, yeah, those are the cryopods.
Yeah. Looks like he's got Noble Team in there.
Yep. There's Forge and a bunch of UNSC crates. There's ODSTs. Whole stack of Warthogs, tanks. They even have Warthogs stacked on top of Warthogs and like lifts.
Well, that's not even right. He's got Georgia in the cryopod and then he's got him out here by the Pelican. Along with June and Emil. Oh, Cat's there too.
Maybe it's George's Flash clone.
And Noble. Noble 6 is there too, it looks like. Or no, that's Carter, sorry.
This thing is just insane.
This is an insane amount of work.
Penn said they don't have Cat driving, right?
I did not see Cat in any vehicles.
No, just in the Noble Team picture. So check that out if you haven't. Check out the latest community update, because it is a insane build. Probably one of the best builds I've seen. And that surpasses the Zanzibar build. And I would even, it's hard, but I would even put this one over the Pillar of Autumn Lego build.
No, the Pillar of Autumn was, I don't know, man. That was a much more densely packed build.
It was.
I mean, if I remember right, that thing was like 7 or 8 feet long.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yes, it is definitely bigger. It covers more square footage, but the Pillar of Autumn build was definitely a lot more challenging of a build. As far as just getting that big mass of Legos to stay together.
Yeah. There's probably quite a bit of glue in there for certain parts, but to be honest, and I know this is kind of a knock on Mega, but the Lego bricks are a lot more sturdy than the Mega Bloks ones are. They fit together a lot more snugly. All the pieces actually fit together instead of having some pieces which are very, very loose, and then some pieces are really, really tight and they don't exactly stay together.
More consistent fitment.
Yes, quite a bit more so. There's also some Forge showcases that they have videos of, and a couple other Machinima things that they put up on the update as well. Some really cool screenshots. I personally like the Mark V with the orange, red, and this energy sword. And then someone actually went out there, and this was a while ago, but he did a screenshot series of assassinations, but the assassinations and the time that he took them were made in such a way that it almost looks like the person doing the assassination is like trying to rescue somebody. So one of them that they have up there is the one where you would kind of like swing someone around, like the plasma grenade one, I think. They have it, the way he has a screenshot, it looks like one Spartan's actually like trying to drag the other like to safety. So it's really cool. And that's it. That's all the stuff that we have for Halo updates. And there's not really much happening in the community either. At least not right now. There was an announcement by the Project Contingency folks, though, that they are opening their testing group to a wider audience. So if you want to partake in some of the testing activities with the developers, then you need to head on over to their Discord server. And you can find that either over on their website, or their link will be in one of their YouTube videos. But if you're looking in kind of testing out some of the stuff that they've been working with, then I'd highly recommend you go check them out. They're at project-contingency.net, and they just put out an update video a couple of days ago. You can find that over on their YouTube channel. As for a little bit of community update for us, a quick update on our Spartan Company commendations. We still have 9 of 31 for the level 5 kill mastery, so that's to get the Achilles helmet. We are so very close to getting our next one done, which is no hard feelings, killing enemy Spartans. Right now, we are about 3,400 kills away from unlocking that commendation.
Cool. Might have to spend some time on that tomorrow night.
Yeah. We have 3,400. We have 3,408, to be exact. Unless some people have been playing, and if I refresh this page. Oh, yep. We've had a lot more happen since then. We've actually had 47 kills since then, or something like that.
That's a couple of games.
Yeah. So now it's 3,361 kills.
Nice to be in the thousands and not the tens of thousands.
Yes. The one that is still the furthest away is the one that we've constantly been struggling with. No surprise. But that is the Starry Mate, which is killing Marines. We're still on Tier 4, and we have 14,241 out of 19,200. So we still have just under 5,000 to go there. And then the second lowest, or the second one that's closest to the end, is forgot to pay the toll, which is kill the driver of a moving enemy vehicle by using a sniper rifle. We have 377 out of 480. So we have 103 left of those in our fourth tier.
Come on, Keys, Confell, step it up.
Yeah, no kidding.
Although Confell did mention that there is a kind of an easy way to get Marine kills if you happen to triple cap, go into the enemy's base and just hang around in the back. And this especially works good if they retake another base. You could just sit back there and kill Marines.
Yeah.
Because they constantly respawn about every 15 seconds. You just got to be careful to kill them. And yeah, they respawn pretty quickly.
I didn't know it was that often. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I did not know it was... Okay. Yeah. Cool. Fair enough. But yeah, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. There's not really much else going on. So next week we'll talk about Shadow of Intent, so if you guys haven't read that yet, feel free to do so. There will be I don't think we'll have any guests on for that. Next week's show should be back on Tuesday again to resume our normal time. So check us out on Tuesday at 9 p.m. You can also check out Godzilla T on Friday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time when he does Fraggin' Fridays. And that is usually Lobby's Choice as far as Warzone, custom, matchmaking, all that kind of stuff. So make sure you check that out, 8:30 p.m. Friday Eastern Time. And are you streaming on both Mixer and Twitch, or...
I am working on streaming on both. For now, I'm just streaming on Twitch.
Okay. So you can head on over to twitch.tv/podtacular, and you'll see him streaming there, at least for the foreseeable future. And then we also have our Achieving Halo series, which Godzilla T posts in our Xbox Club and looking for groups. So if you're looking to get involved with that, then you need to make sure that you're part of our club. So if you go to podtacular.com/Xbox, that will take you straight to our club where you can join up. We don't have any restrictions about who can join, but we do reserve the right to kick anyone from the club if we hear people misbehaving or posting inappropriate stuff. If you want to get involved with a Podtacular production, then that is the way to get involved with the Achieving Halo. And were you able to do the Mission 8?
No, unfortunately, schedules were conflicted.
Okay.
So, and with my current work schedule, I haven't had a lot of extra time to do that. So even if I get it recorded, I don't know when I'd get it edited. So just keep your eye on the looking for group. And when I get the opportunity, I will post it up again. I think the maximum I can put it up for is a week. So that's the most amount of heads up I can give you. If I can do anything more, I will do what I can. Again, the easiest way is just to watch out for that looking for group and message me if you'd like to join in.
Awesome. Also, make sure you check out our podcast network. We're part of a group of gaming specific shows such as Chris Gas, Guardian Radio, Podcast 76, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can check out all those shows and more about them over at thepodcast.com. That'll be it for us tonight. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. For those that tuned in to Mixer and Twitch for our live stream, we appreciate it. For those that we gave away stuff to, we put the link up in the chat, so please make sure you fill that out so you can redeem your stuff. Also, make sure you check out our Twitter. We'll be giving away a couple of issues of the first issue of Rise of Atriox. And there's also some other stuff that we'll be giving away here pretty soon as well. That's it. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you all next week. Keep on fragging trucks.